Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Hi, welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. I am joined here today by four extremely talented podcasters. Owen.
Joe.
Dave.
Hi guys, I'm Owen. I'm playing Seth Targage, the halfling rogue. Posing as a bard.
Dave.
I'm Dave. I'm playing Urich, the dwarf paladin.
Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and once again I'm playing Sulfarex, the dragonborn paladin.
And Niall.
I am Niall. I am playing Voron Elar, the high elf wizard.
On last week's episode, the party concluded the combat with Belladonna Archeron with a very well-timed grease spell. Strangely, when she fell backwards after failing her dex save, she fell into a large mirror, and rather than shattering it, she fell through it into another reality. As the party watched on helplessly, she was accosted by dark, shadowy figures who surrounded her, engulfed her, and dragged her away into the mirror world. Her husband, Vincent Archeron, dived forward to save her, and before the paladin, Sulfarex, and Saf the rogue could help him, he was again sucked into the mirror, before the mirror was smashed by Sulfarex's hand, revealing a secret corridor behind, leading up into a dark attic. The party decided to take a long rest. Before they did do, Saf and Voron decided to take another look in the secret room on the second floor. They found a number of things, including a number of sort of charlatan spellbooks, a deed for a strange windmill in a place called Barovia, which none of them have heard of, a couple of scroll cases which have yet to be opened, and a letter kind of addressed to your my pathetic servant, which appeared to be mocking the cult and the owners of the house by a dread lord who calls himself Strahd von Zarovich. And if I remember rightly, you had a long rest, and that's where we're going to pick things up today. Urich, you don't so much as regain consciousness, but begin sensing the pain. Slowly, through a red haze of agony, your senses manage to send reports back to your brain. You have bruises and cuts and scrapes. Maybe some broken bones. In fact, you keep your eyes closed, not because you kind of want to sort of savour the last moments of beautiful ignorance of your surroundings. No, you kind of keep them closed because it would hurt so much to open them. But eventually you coax open your swollen eyelids and sit up. Fresh waves of agony and nausea greet you as you squint at your surroundings. You're lying on your back in an evil-smelling stone cell. You're an inch deep in stagnant water. You're naked, apart from a few rags, bloody and disheveled. There's a heavy door over to your right, and it seems to be ajar, leaking in light, revealing bodies all around you, all naked, all tortured, battered and bruised as you are, and they all seem to be stirring. In the back of your mind, you hear a voice getting louder and louder. You hear it say, "Now you are free. Go take your revenge."
Scheiße. So, I'm in my own little cell that is open.
So, you can't tell how do you have dark vision?
Yes, I do. 60 feet.
Okay, so the cell is quite large, probably like sort of 10 foot by 20 foot. Again, it's like an inch deep in this filthy water, and you count about maybe 7 or 8 other bodies, various races, sort of lying around you, and they're all beginning to stir, and they're kind of looking up in pain, but also in anger. And one sort of staggers to his feet and sort of stumbles towards the door, pushing it open, revealing a corridor lit with flickering light.
Just sort of addressing the one that's pushed open. How the hell did I get here?
Okay, so when your voice speaks, it's that of kind of like a posh sort of human rather than a sort of angry dwarf.
Well, how the hell did I get here?
Perfect.
What the fuck happened to my voice? Dear God!
They, one by one, began to push themselves up and follow the staggering figure to the left.
Well, just ignore me then. I guess I'll follow. Follow the group, as it were.
Okay, so the corridor, as I say, goes right and left. It seems to be like a cell block. But the doors are all opening, and from the cells are kind of pushing out these horrendously tortured figures. All seem to be animated with sort of this desire for revenge, and they're heading left towards where there's a lot more light coming from the end of the corridor.
And a dog howling in the background. Where are the... where did the flicker... What are the flickering... What are the light sources?
So there's one torch in this kind of prison block, but at the end of the corridor, there seems to be more light coming from that corridor. Like, it seems turn right, and from that right, there's more light shining.
Is it a torch I can sort of take down and use as a weapon?
Yeah, you can reach up and you feel that the bracket is loose as well. The whole thing comes out in your hand and it feels reassuringly heavy. You feel you've almost got a weapon. And at that moment, you kind of get shoved from behind as a burly dwarf sort of knocks you over into this sort of fetid water and charges forward.
Well, I say, watch where you're going, you short little bastard.
Is that like, have you always wanted to say that, but like now you actually get the chance to say it?
you look down and you have been horrendously tortured, actually. You sort of see like all your fingernails have been pulled out, and like, I don't want to get into too much detail, but you're not in a good way. The corridor is now pretty much empty. It looks like all the sort of the figures have disappeared, and from the distance you hear a horrible scream.
I guess thinking I'm going to try and make my escape. I mean, I'm obviously don't have a lot of memory of what the hell's going on here, but obviously something very, very unpleasant has happened to me, and I shall follow the mob, brandishing my torch for good measure.
Okay, the corridor turns right and then left and then opens up into a large room. In the centre of the room, it looks like sort of a primitive rack has been set up, and some poor victim is still screaming horrendously on it. The room is filled with these sort of tortured victims that have all escaped from the cells, and they are dismembering 3 members of the torturers, or 3 torturers. One of them seems to be Vincent Arkron. Could he be? How do you know that name? I can feel it floating in your brain. One of them seems to be a tall dragonborn who's fighting back against 3 prisoners. And one of them seems to be a dwarf who looks very, very familiar.
I guess I'm going to attack the dwarf. I mean, is he fighting against my fellow prisoners?
He is, yeah.
In that case, I am going to... With a full-throated roar! Probably sounds a little camp. I shall swing the flaming brazier at him. The flaming torch, not raw. But we all know what brazier means, I hope.
Hello. Okay. Hello, Bartholomew.
So, for everyone else, can you all give me perception checks?
Okay.
18. 14.
And 5.
Okay, Sylvarak.
I continue drawing my windmill.
And, well, I think at this moment, you're asleep. So this is, your watch has changed over. Voron, you're kind of sat down in front of the dying embers of the fire. And Sylvarak, you awake as you both hear from somewhere, maybe on the floor above you, the sound of a child singing.
When we come to see.
That's exactly what we needed right now. Creepy children. My eyes snap open and my third eyelid rolls across my eye and my eyes contort and dilate in the noise that I've heard. And I look up at the ceiling and stare at the from the point where the sound is coming from.
Like it's muted, but you can hear it.
Saf is asleep at this stage, isn't he?
Saf's asleep. Ulrich's asleep, but Ulrich is like stirring really restlessly, like he's sort of moaning in his sleep as if he's having some terrible nightmare.
You're kind of... You hear that too? What? What is it? Do you have any idea?
You tell me. And I kind of stand up and just... Still, eyes fixated upon the spot in the ceiling.
And kind of, I walk over towards the sleeping gnome and the dwarf in the chest, and I kind of like nudge Saf with my foot, kind of like try to shake Ulrich awake, kind of.
Okay, so you both wake up. Ulrich, you've been having a terrible dream about escaping prisoners, and as you're being awoken, it seems that a huge fire had been lit in the prison, and it was engulfing everybody.
What the fuck? Don't
jump back. Whoa. It's just me. It's just Voron. Are you alright?
My god, that night I had the strangest dream.
That's not any surprise after what we've all been through just now. But listen. And I'm kind of like pointing up. Do we still hear it?
Yeah, the sound of the child singing is getting closer. You think it might be coming down the stairs.
The child is singing.
Yeah, it's the sound of a child singing.
Why does a child singing make me think this is going to be something very bad? You just see me pull out my war axe.
Yep.
Can I sense anything?
So the way that your paladin senses work is they don't work through cover, so you have to be able to see what you're sensing. It doesn't work through a wall.
Do you want to peek out the door?
Yeah, I'll open and have a look out.
Are you going to disarm your alarm spell?
Yeah.
While we're doing this, did we actually get a long rest? Cause
yep. So mechanically, everyone's had a long rest.
Yeah, I need to heal up before I start running into the next lot of danger.
Which means that at least eight hours should have passed, which should be 9 o'clock in the morning outside. So you have survived the night.
Lovely. Is it bright out now? Like, is there sun coming in the windows or anything?
Well, I'm assuming you pulled all the curtains, so you kind of pull back the curtains, pulling in the sunlight, and you are horrified to reveal that it is still pitch black outside.
That's what I was afraid of. Oh, God.
And then from somewhere you hear the sound of the grandfather clock striking 1 a.m.
What? Again? What? It hasn't been 24 hours.
Gentlemen.
I just lagged out there. What did I miss? Sorry, guys. My whole thing just stalled.
I don't think we're
so
in...
So Saf just wakes up.
I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Oh! Ranker, that was my line!
I know.
Don't...
is everything in black and white now?
I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto. Motherfucking high elf.
Like prancing around the room.
Yeah, so I'm going out to greet this gay child happily singing and skipping down the steps. And
so you kind of push the door open. All the sort of candles have been extinguished, and the only light seems to be kind of not very bright moonlight shining through the huge gap that was left by the broken stained glass window. Everything's in monotones, so you are, we're in black and white now. And up to your right, skipping slowly down the stairs.
Or falling down the stairs. The fuck was that?
Is a leather child's ball, and it's like just bouncing, doof, 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 and it rolls towards you and stops.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
At your feet.
I'm not touching it. where is the over inquisitive halfling when you need him?
I genuinely lagged out. I don't know what's happening. So I kind of do need an update. Like I asked that a second ago. I really don't know.
So
a child sang, and that's and next thing I know, we're outside the hall.
No,
and it's 1 o'clock.
So Ferex looked out the door. Oh yeah. So I opened up the curtains. It was still dark out. And the
so
one,
do it in character. Bell. Do it in character. Saf's just woken up.
Okay. Yeah. So he's just like, what's going on? I'm assuming so Ferex is at the door. And
yeah, the fuck is going on?
Well, put it simply, it's a little girl. We all heard a little girl singing. We all slept for 8 or 9 hours. But yet the clock just struck 1 again, and it's still dark outside. So who the fuck knows?
So we slept for a full day?
No, definitely not. Something's up here. Something's not right.
I'll check my Rolex and look at the date.
Dragon Rolex.
Sylvarix, so you've turned around facing the room and you're holding this like leather ball as they kind of try and explain to Saf what's going, and you feel this like tap on the back of your leg.
Okay, so I turn 180 to greet the source of the tap.
Okay, so like it's a very thin looking child. He is like partly see-through, all in sort of shades of grey. You can see the floor right through him, the black and white tiles, dressed in an incredibly old-fashioned set of clothes. He looks up at you and goes, "Hi, could I have my ball back, please?"
I kneel and hand the ball to the small child.
I've got to go. I'm not really meant to play downstairs. And he begins to, move quickly, although he's so small, like he's probably only like 4 or 5, so him moving quickly is still quite slowly towards the stairs.
I probably would have, I walked into the room just in time to sort of, I assume just in time to sort of see the child as it goes round the curve of the staircase up towards the landing where we fought all the crazy animals.
He turns around and his eyes are like black hollows in the light, as if he's got no eyes at all, and he just looks at you and says, "You won't tell Daddy that I've been playing downstairs, will you?"
"Your secret's safe with me."
Daddy says I need to stay in my room because there's a monster in the basement. And I think there is. And he like disappears around the bend in the stairs.
As he's saying that, like, as he's saying all that, can I... Like, I'm fairly streetwise, and I know when someone's bullshitting me. Can I get a sense of he's bullshitting me?
Yeah, give me an insight check.
You're gonna do, like, a...
You know when those 4 or 5-year-olds give you absolute bullshit, you know? Melting off.
I'm gonna get out a lamp, shine in his face, and go, "Oh, don't fuck with us, kid."
What's this? What is it? Psychology test?
In a D&D, it's insight. What did you get?
Yeah, we have ways of making you talk. I rolled an 18.
That is my line and my accent.
Okay, he definitely has an ulterior motive for dropping the ball. You think maybe the whole thing was like staged? He wants you to follow him.
That motherfucker's after ice cream or something.
Ghost.
And if there's ice cream, I'm following him.
Sad as that for ice cream too.
No, actually I don't think I'm making my character fat. He couldn't fit through the gate in episode 1. Now he wants ice cream.
Well, gentlemen, I don't think waiting around any longer will get us out of here. We must explore that hidden passageway.
Can I kind of... I just put my hand up like, wait, did he say the basement? Have you guys seen any stairs to a basement anywhere?
Nope.
Well, we haven't gone into the dining room. but no.
Okay.
You've searched downstairs pretty heavily, actually.
And I would assume the stairs to the basement would be downstairs.
Presumably.
All right.
I would assume so. There's a dumbwaiter, and I am not getting in that thing before we say that again. Because I know I'm the only one who can fit in that fucking thing. I'm not getting the dumbwaiter, and I'm saying this in character.
Are my spidey senses still tingling?
Like, the whole house, although it already felt quite sort of evil as it is, it now feels really malevolent. Like, the whole thing feels evil and out to get you.
Ulrich wants us to explore his hidden passage. I say, Voron, you're up.
The PKE meter is going off the charts.
And Saf wants to explore my hidden passage.
I just want to watch.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Joe.
So, Saf, you're kind of like standing at the bottom of the stairs, and like you feel little tap on your shoulder again, and somehow the little boy is next to you again.
The fuck? What's up, buddy?
I'm scared. The bad lady is upstairs. I want to get into my room, but the bad lady's there.
Which bad lady?
The bad lady with the dead baby.
The dead. Oh, okay. Is a baby? Is it a friend of yours?
He kind of like turns round and like screams. But like his mouth opens and opens and opens and opens within this kind of like dark abyss. The scream shoots forward, like your hair is blown back in this wave, and when you kind of like open your eyes, he's gone.
Oh, like punch the mummy. Did the rest of us see that? Punching or? Him?
No, and you didn't see him either.
Did we see his hair like fly back?
No, Saf just kind of like gone really like frozen stiff for a second.
Am I talking? What the fuck? Like, is that anything on this?
Did we see his hair blow back?
No,
we didn't. We said no. Literally, he's just been standing in a trance there for like the last 30 seconds.
And I haven't, I haven't been talking in their view.
No.
Okay. I'm going to go upstairs.
Are you leading the way?
As soon as he starts going upstairs, I sort of say, why don't you let someone a bit bigger stand in front? And I'll take the lead with my shield front, warhammer in my hand, heading back to the landing.
A tiny bit bigger.
All right, there's some lady or some lady presence up here, with like a dead baby. I don't know what happened or who that guy was that we were just talking to. But the kid said there was a dead baby upstairs.
So you all kind of make it the next landing, and rather than being elegant and beautifully restored, the whole thing reeks of smoke. It looks like the day after a fire. All the furnishings have been burnt to cinders. The carpet's gone, revealing like a blackened stone floor. And again, this air of sort of deep malevolence is really thick in the air.
I'm going to ignore this landing and carry on heading up to the third floor, heading for that secret passage to the loft.
The door opens behind Saf, and you see to your horror this like translucent child again, and he's like standing behind him.
Guys, what's up?
which of us see the child this time?
All of you do.
The fuck, kid? as he points him out.
What do I sense from the child?
With your paladin sense.
Yes.
Like, malevolent evil.
Okay.
That could be Saf. It's really hard to tell.
But, like, that could be the house as well. Like, you almost feel completely overloaded. Like, you feel that way you look anywhere. Like...
I feel that the child itself is not inherently evil.
And like he runs over and like hides behind you.
I can't put like a huge hand on the ghostly child's head, can I?
You can, but your hand just goes right through him.
crush it like a grape.
We're not meant to be here. This daddy says when his friends are downstairs, we need to stay in our room. But they've been downstairs for such a long time, and I'm so hungry.
Well, there is your room.
Where's your room?
It's upstairs now. I have to sleep upstairs in the attic with the bad lady.
Who's the bad lady?
Who?
She's...
What's her name?
I don't want to say.
Who's your dad? What's your dad's name? Where is your dad?
Daddy's in the basement with his friends and the monster. But the bad lady's upstairs, and I'm meant to stay in my room.
Show us the bad lady. We will help. So we will take care of the bad lady.
Can I pull a small piece of bread from my pouch and my belt and offer it to the child?
It's not a fucking dog.
I hope it's ghost bread.
He looks half starved, like he really is actually emaciated. Like, even Saf could probably put his hand round this little child's wrist. He like reaches for the bread, but his like hand just passes right through it, and he looks completely dejected. And then he points up the stairs. My room's up there.
Guys, will we take him to his room and
yeah,
see what this bad lady is?
Again, sort of making a dwarven holy symbol of like holding my hammer in front of my chest plate and sort of kissing the runic inscriptions of the dwarven gods on my hammer and slightly pricking myself. I carry on up the stairs again.
I'll take a shot from my hip flask, which is kind of the same.
Can I sort of talk to the child and say, it's okay, son. Show me. And ask him to, like, lead the way, to show where it is his room is.
Okay, so he like leads you up the creaking stairs, and again this sort of malevolent evil just seems to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Can I get like a rough marching order? So presumably, so Sylvarix and this ghost boy are going first. What about the rest of you?
I'm right behind Sylvarix.
I was going to say, do you want to take up the rear in case something attacks us from behind? But no, that's all right. I'll go be behind Ulrich then.
Cool, I got this.
Okay, so you climb up the stairs and enter a large hallway. There's kind of three doors you can see, all of them closed. The hallway itself is choked with dust. And the boy points to the first door on the right and says, "That's my room there. The bad lady is in the door next to it."
I turn round to the other three people in our party and ask them, "So how do you want us to handle this?
Deal with the danger first, and then search the rest of the floor."
Yep.
I don't like the sound of this lady.
Neither do I. Not after what we've dealt with so far.
I mean, there's gotta be some way to the basement. I'm sure this kid's father's a swell guy. We should probably, you know, bring his kid back.
You don't want to go to the basement. The basement's where the monster is.
What monster?
There is going to be a Voron-shaped hole in the door.
It's a ghost.
The sound of your voice.
Basically, I'm getting ready. I'm lining up, ready to sort of burst open the door that the child pointed out as belonging to the lady, just sort of waiting for the rest of the party to get into position.
Can I me. Can I give one of the guys the blessed scroll? Say, you might need this.
Okay, so do you guys want to move your characters to where you want to be?
If you could just, you know, ping where the door is that the child was indicating belonged to the lady.
That's the one there, yep.
Okay.
So it's the one to the north.
So I'm lined up behind that door.
There is a door behind you, which is yet to be sort of spoken about.
This one on the left of us.
Yeah.
Can I just quickly poke my head in? Just to get the lay of the land.
So the one on the left of you, yeah, you can definitely poke your head in there. Just let me have a moment.
Okay, you have a moment.
Yeah, I need it. I've got this. Problem about D&D is you have just so many books open in front of you.
It's a nightmare.
So, okay, so room number 18. Okay, so you kind of like poke your head in. This dusty chamber is packed with old furniture, all draped in dusty white sheets. It's really difficult to see what else is in there because, I mean, there's sort of about, I don't know, 10, maybe more sheets, but you've no idea what's kind of underneath them itself. To your right, there seems to be like a dusty old stove.
There's a door at the far end, I spy.
There is indeed, yeah.
Can I just quickly poke my head through that door as well?
Yeah, so it leads out onto a balcony, looking over the Durst estate, and you see again the mist that we talked about before hangs over the entire estate, covering the ground for miles around.
Okay, possible exit signs. Always good to know where the exits are.
And Ulrich is looking a little bit irritated that, you know, he's going to basically assault this door, and Sylvarix just seems to be going on a wander. Okay.
Well, it's always good to know where your exits are.
It is, yeah. Okay, so we're going to visit this bad lady then?
I was going to say, are you forgetting the fact that the one woman who tried to leave this place showed up in the scary mirror from the land of the dead? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Leaving before daylight is not a good idea.
And the other one left through said mirror, yes? Yes.
Okay then. Ulrich, when you're ready... like clutching my
right.
Quarterstaff.
Okay.
We're just Jamaican bobsled.
So you burst the door open. Inside, this web-filled room contains only a slender bed, a nightstand, a rocking chair, a wardrobe open and empty, and a small iron stove. Sitting on the rocking chair, rocking backwards and forwards, is a hooded figure. It's hunched over so you can't see its face, and holding to it like a baby wrapped up so tightly you can't see any of its features, and it's singing a soft lullaby.
That's creepy. I'm assuming only Ulrich can see it.
I'm trying to recall the story. The Lord of the Manor cheated on his
Durst.
So maybe, like, if you want to, like, step back into the corridor, close the door gently behind you before you have this conversation.
Okay, I don't want to have this conversation yet. In that case,
I think it's a good one to have because it's a few episodes ago. If you remember
so
what happened,
I'll step back. Yeah, in that case, and if I remember correctly, it was the Lord of the Manor whose wife died tragically, committed suicide after being betrayed by her lord and husband?
If I recall correctly, yeah, that sounds...
Was she pregnant? Did she have a young child?
Who?
Or the wife of the lord?
Gustav Durst? I don't recall. If only we could roll for ideas.
If only.
So, you do recall that the lord of the house, Gustav Durst, got the nursemaid pregnant, and it was a stillborn child.
And he had two kids from photos and stuff that we saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
How was the apparition dressed? Was she dressed as a noble lady or as a serving?
As a serving woman, definitely.
As a serving woman. Okay. In that case, I'll enter the room again and dress her. Did we ever learn the serving the nursemaid's name?
No.
No.
Okay. Where's the second son?
Excuse me, ma'am?
Who's the daughter?
She, like, looks up and her face is the most terrifying, horrific visage you've ever seen. And I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw for seeing it.
Gott in Himmel! You look worse than my wife on a morning after a night out.
And she lets out this terrible, ear-splitting scream. What did you get?
Four.
Okay, you are now... You have the frightened condition, so you roll with disadvantage with being near this terrible apparition. And because you failed the save by five or more, you are going to age. So roll me a d4.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
I'm going to age by 4 years.
By 40 years.
Jeez.
What?
Say that again. What?
So, like, for you guys watching him, like, his. I mean, you're a dwarf, so 40 years isn't as big a deal as if it was anyone else in the party.
It's like a week for everyone else.
But, like, his face wrinkles and grows pallid. His hair loses its luxuriousness. And he steps back and collapses to the floor. So, can you add 40 years to your age? And the door slams shut.
Makes me 65, I think, if that's right.
I'll step forward, and
over the old ass dwarf,
over the crinkly old dwarf.
To be honest, no,
he's 65. If he's a 65, he's a young ass dwarf. He's hardly a teenager.
No, if I remember correctly,
he's grown up a bit.
Yeah, so I'm just barely salt and pepper now, but I went from the full flush of youth to.
But not the dwarf. Dwarfs live for hundreds of years.
We hardly even notice a difference.
300 or 400 years, if I remember correctly.
So I step over the dwarf who, unbeknown to me, has aged this 40 years because he looks no different to my untrained eye. He's just a hairy little man still.
Probably look quite haggard from having aged 40 years in a day. I might recover somewhat, but certainly pallid and...
Perhaps. And I address the figure and I say...
She looks up again and revealing this horrific visage. Can you make me a wisdom saving throw?
Can I get my line out, please?
No.
Wisdom fucking saving throw my ass.
There we go, 22.
So you, like...
And line.
It is terrifying, and you can see how awful it is, but your faith or your steadfastness is enough to withstand what you're seeing.
I go to speak, and then she looks up and screams again, and I kind of stared back down at her with almost iron will and fixality and snort a huge billow of hot air and smoke from my nostrils, and I go to repeat the line again, and I say, by the power invested within me from the cathedrals of light, I command you to leave this place and be gone.
She, like, clutches the wrapped baby to her bosom, and you see that it's just a skeleton, a ghostly skeleton, but a skeleton nonetheless, and then flies towards you with rage, her fingers extending into foot-long claws, and that's where we're going to end tonight's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to find out what happens right now, then visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. All donations help us keep going and help us release every week. This week, I want to give a huge thank you to Keith Kelly for your extremely generous donation. We'd also like to say a big thank you to everyone who has rated the show on iTunes, and especially to Mr. Bungle Fan and EW Mikkel Fresh for your extremely kind iTunes reviews. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions or criticisms, then you can contact us on Twitter at HWR Podcast and by liking our Facebook page. Thanks again to BattleBards for use of their amazing music and sound effects. You should definitely check them out for your games. That's all from us. Take care. See you next week.